Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome to our show, Elise Alexander. This is what Elise says about herself. I am the VP and General Counsel for AcreTrader, Inc., which is an Arkansas-based platform that enables fractionalized ownership of farmland and allows investors to earn passive income starting online in just minutes. Our mission is to empower our customers to buy and sell land smarter with advanced technology, data, and expertise. I grew up on a farm and ranch in Crawford County, Arkansas. In addition to my role at AcreTrader since 2003, I have served as president of a large family office managing several companies and providing legal counsel to portfolio companies as well. Hello there, Elise. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me on today. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yeah, me too. I've been looking forward to this show because we've never had anybody come on and talk about farmland. What an interesting topic. So yay, thank you for coming on. So could you just give us, Elise, kind of your high level story? Like, how did you get into this sort of investing?
I grew up on a farm and ranch, as you said. So I had exposure to farmland. Fast forward a few years, and my brother, who's a money manager at a large banking firm, wanted to invest some family money in some land. And I thought, I don't think this is a good idea. We won't be able to get our money back. Turns out he was right and I was wrong. And so we've invested in farmland independently of the AcreTrader job over the years and done pretty well at it. And so I was at least familiar with the asset class when I met Carter Malloy, who's our CEO, and Garrett McClintock, who's our COO. And it's unique and it has different aspects that we'll go into today about why it's different than traditional real estate investing and why it's different than why it's a good alternative and a way to diversify your portfolio. We aren't investment advisors, so we can't give investment advice, but we can talk to you about farmland and tell you how to invest in different ways through AcreTrader. And I'm excited about the asset class.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about how you got involved with AcreTrader specifically.
It was actually through a mutual friend who approached my brother and his job and said, hey, these guys are a startup. They're looking for equity to start the company and grow. And through that conversation, we found out they were looking for a legal counsel. And I had gotten a little bit less busy managing the family side of things and was looking for my next opportunity. And my first thought was, wow, this seems really simple. Why has nobody thought of this? And then my second thought was, well, looking at the quality of their slide deck, they already have a lawyer involved. They probably don't need me. But that led to a phone call and another in-person meeting in late February of 2019. We hadn't even yet launched our first farm. And I fell in love with the concept. I really liked Carter and Garrett. And there were maybe three or four other people on the team at that point. And it's like, I like these guys. I feel at home with them. Let's go. And it's been just like this ever since.
Keeping you busy, huh?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome. So talk to me a little bit about how farmland as an asset class is different than other asset class and other ways to invest in real estate.
Yeah, it's different than just investments like stocks or bonds, for example. It's not correlated to the stock market. So if you have a fluctuation in the stock market, it generally doesn't affect the value of the farmland, which is nice. There's also a relative lack of price volatility in the price of land. There have been some downturns in the U.S. in the past 50 years in the values of farmland, but much less so than other asset classes. There's a real long-term appreciation in the value of farmland. NCREIF is an organization that tracks a lot of land statistics, and their main statistic is that the average annual return for farmland is about 11 to 12% over the last 30 years. And if you look at the USDA statistics, they've published that cumulative annual growth rate of farmland in the past 50 years has been about 5.9%. So you can earn money with farmland in a couple of ways. One is you get annual distributions from the rent on the farm, and then you also get that long-term appreciation that we just talked about. Another benefit to farmland versus other real estate assets is it has a pretty stable tenant base. You have a lower default rate. These farmers, if they don't own the land, you know, if they're just a tenant on your land, they want to be there. They're spending time and energy and money and putting fertilizer in the soil that is good for more than 1 year. And they're just real salt of the earth people. And they certainly, farms fail, but it just happens in industry and business anyway, but the default rate is lower. So a farmer has a bad year, so he or she is not necessarily going to move off your and say, oh, sorry, I'm not paying my rent. And they pay rent not monthly, but in advance of their growing season. So that helps as well. And then for me, one of the things I loved about AcreTrader and the business model, but also farmland, is there's a real social good that I haven't been able to benefit from in any other business or job I've had. We're preserving the assets. Farmland disappears at the rate of like 2.9 acres per minute in the US. We lose it to development. And we're also ultimately helping feed people, not just in the United States, but also in the world. And that feels good to me, is, you know, opposed to just pushing some paper around the desk. And I know personally a lot of farmers. And, you know, one of the probably the biggest criticisms we get about our business model is, oh, well, you're just buying farmland and driving up the price. Well, the asset class is huge, but there are a lot of ways that we help young farmers as they're growing their business. They can't afford to buy land, we buy it for them and then we lease it to them. Mm-hmm. And so our investors partner in a way with that farmer to help him or her grow their operation. And there's a lot of different ways I could describe that, but that's the general benefits that I see and distinctions from traditional real estate.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts. That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
I'd like to hear a little bit more of those details. But first of all, so you're renting to small farmers, right? You're not rent. So why don't you tell me a little bit more about that? Like, who is it actually that you're renting to? And definitely go into a little bit more of those benefits.
Okay. Yeah. Our tenants, some of them are large corporate type farmers. For example, we have a couple of tenants who are repeats in different areas. Some have organic farm operations. And so to be certified organic, land has to undergo this long process. You can only use certain types of products on the land to enhance it. And there's a lot more that goes into that. So if an organic farmer is going to ask you for a longer term lease, and some of those are larger operations, some of the tenants we have are young farmers who are starting out. And like I said, they may have only a limited amount of capital and they need that to buy farm equipment and buy the fertilizer and the seeds and things like that that go into the farm. So they don't have enough credit maybe to get leverage to buy the farm. So they'll bring us a good farm. We'll do our process to review it. And then we'll give them an option to purchase it at the end and we'll lease it to them. So that's one way in which we help large farmers. Sometimes a family, you know, the farming generation in the US is growing older. Sometimes people pass away and maybe their children don't want to farm. Or maybe they have three kids and two want to farm and the other one just wants the money. It's a good way we could buy that farm. Our investors could buy that farm from those descendants of a longtime farmer And, you know, the one who doesn't want to farm goes away, and the other two may want to lease it back from us and continue farming that same ground that their family has owned. So there are a lot of ways that we help farmers. And if we refer them to resources that they may not know they have access to. So it's not just us trying to buy land and benefit from it. We really view it as a partnership with farmers and try to help them. We have tools that we provide to them and data that we try to make available to them, and just resources like how do you find a good CPA that knows how to account for farming and things like that. So it makes us feel good, and they're great people. We get to meet new people every day, and that's fun too.
Yeah. So you say that farmland is disappearing at this huge rate, right? How does that affect your business? What do you guys do?
I think it affects our business in a couple of ways. And I wouldn't say that we would never convert farmland to commercial development. For example, we buy farms in Illinois, and Chicago continues to spread out. So there are commercial developments near where we are. There are wind farms on some of our farms that our investors own. But generally speaking, by buying that farmland and continuing to engage in the farming business through our tenants, that preserves the farmland from being commercially developed for that period of time. Sometimes it can make buying farmland more challenging, because if a commercial or a development company is interested in the same piece of land we want to put on the platform and allow investors to invest in, and you know, that can drive the price up. But we try to make sure that we are purchasing farmland at a price that provides for appreciation over time, and the investors can benefit. And you know, obviously other things that affect farming and farmland are commodity prices and, you know, tenant, like what's the going rate for rent in that area. So there's a lot of factors that go into deciding whether a farm might be a good investment. But I think overall, the fact that a lot of farmland is going away to development, it doesn't hurt our business model, but our population is going up. The need to feed people is going up. You know, some farmland is used not for growing crops, but for grazing livestock.
Right.
Which also goes toward feeding people. So at this point, we haven't had any farms on the Acre Trader platform that is used for livestock and grazing. But I think, you know, we're hoping to expand our offerings to include things like solar and timber.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways to make money through farmland that aren't always just growing soybeans or corn or apples or, you know, whatever.
What I've heard about farmland is that basically the small farmer is getting shut out and the big farmers are all coming in and buying up all the land or doing all the production. It sounds to me like you really kind of focus, or your love is with the smaller farmer. Am I understanding that correctly?
We love all farmers. You know, okay. Ultimately, we're going to lease a farm to the person or group that has a proven performance history. What's their yield data look like? Are they financially sound? Are they known in the community to be good people and, you know, people that we would enjoy working with for a long period of time? I would say more of our tenants are smaller farmers. And, you know, the bigger corporate farmers do a great job at farming sustainably and having a lot of good practices in place. Those larger farmers have more ready access to capital. Mm-hmm. So if they need a line of credit for their operations or to buy more farmland, it's more easy for them to do so. And some of the smaller farmers have less access to capital. And so I think statistically, it means a lot of smaller farmers are our tenants. But we don't prefer one over the other.
Got it.
I would say when leasing.
Got it. When you've got a lease, how long do the lease usually last? Or, you know, how long do you write the lease for? How long does it normally last? When do you normally sell? Like, what's the longevity of those contracts? And part of why I'm asking that question is that as an investor, we're getting, you know, whatever it is every single year. Mm-hmm. But then do we ever get to take advantage of the equity growth in that? And kind of what does that look like?
Yeah. Most of the holding periods on farms, we estimate between 5 and 7 years. So if you purchase shares in an entity that owns farmland through the Acre Trader platform, most of those hold periods, we think 5 to 7 years is about the sweet spot, but we have an ability to sell a farm sooner. So investors earn appreciation in this kind of passive income model in two ways. You know, they're getting a part of the cash that's generated by renting the farm from the farmer. And then at the end of the life of the farm, when we decide, hey, the markets are good, we have an offer on a farm, you know, however that comes about, we pay the closing costs, we pay, you know, the commission for the sale, and then everything that's left comes back out to the investors in that LLC or LLP that owns the farm pro rata based on how many shares or membership interests they have in that farm. So investors get annual income, and then they get to share in the long-term appreciation. AcreTrader doesn't take a carried interest. We do charge farm management fees annually, and we have an affiliate that's a real estate brokerage that gets commission.
Okay.
So, but otherwise, you know, we try to leave the bulk of the appreciation available to investors.
Great. What is the minimum investment into any of these properties? Does it differ or?
Yeah, it varies by type of farm. One thing I failed to tell you was the other type of farm besides row crop farms, which are like soybeans, corn, that kind of thing. Those are a 5 to 7 year hold period. A permanent crop farm, which would be an orchard where they grow nuts, almonds, pistachios, apples, those type of farms have a longer hold period. And the reason for that is if it's a new planting, it takes a while for the trees to grow enough to begin producing the fruit and then to reach full maturity where the farm is the most profitable and therefore, you know, a better candidate for a sale or a liquidation. Those periods are more 10 to 15 years
okay.
on the hold.
That makes sense.
Yeah. It does. And so once we kind of get to a point, and AcreTrader is new. We've sold one farm so far, and then we have some others that we're looking at receiving offers on that at the moment. And so we consider to see if it's economically viable, if it's a good outcome for our investors when we look at, is it time?
Is it time? Right. Of course. You said you do a management fee annually. What does that look like?
That is 0.75%. of the fair market value of the farm.
Okay.
And the fair market value of the farm can go up over time so that the dollar amount of that fee could go up. But investors don't receive state invoices or anything like that. Once we've collected the rent, the AcreTrader management fee, we have an affiliate that's called AcreTrader Management LLC, and that's the entity that does the farm management. Out of those fees, we may also contract with a local third-party farm manager. So that's no additional expense to investors, but that's somebody who is a professional farm manager. They have boots on the ground. They're there looking at the farm. They're talking to the farmer. They're making sure they're being sustainable using good farming practices. And so those fees are covered by the AcreTrader, the management fee we get. The other things we do for that fee are we pay the property taxes if there are improvements to be made on the farm, like the irrigation equipment breaks, or we need better drainage on the farm. We would supervise those and work with the farmer to make sure that his or her farming was not interrupted. And then we pay the property tax on the farm and get insurance, general liability insurance on the farm. So it's truly passive to investors. After they've made that initial investment, they just get to sit back and receive their cash distributions across the platform back into their wallet. And then we do the tax and accounting reporting annually as well.
I love that because, well, first of all, if we're going to do passive investing, we have to pay a management fee. I mean, that's just kind of par for the course. I feel like your management fee is very, very low. It's not even 1%.
Right.
So you do an awful lot for a very low percentage. That's amazing to me. Because in residential, we might pay for management fees 8 to 12 to 15% of rents, right? It's a little bit different, right? You're doing it on value, but in residential, we do it on rents. But it seems to cover quite a lot. So I really, really love that.
Yeah, we want people to love the asset class too, and we'll still make money. And we're not out to, we're thinking long-term big picture. We don't want to benefit ourselves up front at the expense of the investors, because that's not a good way to build a relationship. We want them to trust us. We want to behave with integrity. And I think that's what being in business for a long time is about.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you on that. With regards to payments out annually, is it basically in syndication, we have a term that's day one payouts, right? I don't know if you have that term or you understand what I'm talking about with that, but how soon after the investor invests do they start getting payments out?
Usually, if we purchase a farm in the first 6 months of the year, the first payouts would come in December of that year. What can happen in farmland after June 1st-ish? Farmers have they've started planting, they started preparing the ground. And so after that, if I bought a farm in August, I likely wouldn't receive rent on that farm until the following year. Some leases are split with payments between March and November, or that kind of coincide with starting the process of planting and once they've harvested. And I failed to answer you on the past question you asked, which was lease term. It varies by farm and by land, but sometimes the leases with the farmers are a year. Sometimes with the organic farmers, they might be 3 to 5 years. Sometimes they have rent escalation. Some of our leases are cash where they just pay us a set rate, and some are cash with some flex lease component, which means they pay a base amount of rent. And then depending on if the farm performs and the yields are higher than certain levels, the investors may also get a piece of the crop rent or the crop production and the sale of that.
Interesting. So, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. I failed to answer that.
No, that's great. And some of it, I don't even know what to ask. I've never even talked about this asset class. So I'm just loving all the information. This is awesome.
To circle back to the question you just asked, which is about rent on day one. So in some cases with the more permanent crops too, the disclosures on the site will tell you, hey, you can expect to start receiving payments and then the time frame. Because on permanent crops, if it's a green field operation where it's a bare land and we have to go through and somebody's got to plant trees and install irrigation, it could be 3 or more years before you start receiving cash distributions. As an investor, you'd want to know that up front.
Of course. Yes. But do you start accruing your interest from day one, or when do you start accruing the benefit?
We don't accrue interest. For example, on a farm, if for whatever reason, which is rare, a farmer did default and didn't pay rent, you wouldn't get distributions that year. Mm-hmm. So there's no accrual for that. But, the next year, one of the good things about AcreTrader is we really vet the tenant base in the area. So we know if something did happen and a farmer, for whatever reason, had to default on the lease, we know there would be other tenants there available. So depending on the time of year that happened, we could get another farmer in who would start planting and there could be some distributions that year. But there's no accrual and catch up from an accounting sense.
Got it. So when you talk about the possibility, I just visited your site. When you talk about it will make on average, and of course, there's no guarantees on this, ladies, but just kind of this is what you might predict is say 12% a year. You're including that there are years that you may not pay anything. Is that true? Or give me a little bit more of a breakdown on that.
Our model doesn't provide for a default. Mm-hmm. And we don't include the fact that any certain year you might not get rent, but it's very conservative in that we base that estimated yield or annual IRR based on the same base rent at the beginning of the lease. We don't factor in any escalation in rental value in there because it's hard to predict upfront. And we would rather people have realistic expectations and then surprise them if we do well.
Right.
And so I think that appreciation in rental rates would serve to probably offset any year in which you didn't get rent, but there could be a year that you did not receive a cash distribution into your wallet.
Okay, good. That's very, very interesting. I feel like I've got a million questions and we're already out of time. So Ashley, I'm going to ask you more questions, but we're going to do it in extra. Ladies, so a couple of things that we want to talk about in extra is Elise is from AcreTrader. I'm going to let you know exactly how to get in touch with her. But there are many different ways to buy farmland. And so we're going to be talking about that in extras. And I'll probably ask Elise a few more questions as they come up for me. Like I said, I've never had a conversation about this asset class, so it's just fascinating. But I also don't know what to ask. So I'm sure that conversation will be really, really juicy. So we will do that in extra. But before we move into our 3 rapid fire questions, I just want to let you know how to find out more about AcreTrader. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/farmland. So blissfulinvestor.com/farmland, and that will go to their homepage at Acre Trader, and there's resources to learn more. I think you go to the resources tab. There's opportunities. So if they've got any investments that they're currently taking investments on, that will be listed in investments. You can get on their newsletter so that you can find out more information. So there's a lot of resources on that webpage. Did you want to add anything else, Elise, regarding the webpage?
I didn't. The only thing I would want to point out is that at this point, and I'm sure your listeners are familiar with accredited investor status, at this point, our offerings are only open to accredited investors. So we hope to broaden that at some point in the future, but at this point, it's only accredited.
Perfect. And is there, what is like the minimum investment you can get?
The lowest are usually somewhere between $8,000 and $10,000 usually dollars.
Okay.
And that, depending on the farm that and the price per acre, that could be more than one share. Each offering will tell you what the minimum investment is required and what number of shares that gets you. Some of the more permanent crop offerings that, and sometimes we have sponsored offerings that somebody else finds and sources the deal, and they just bring it to us and pay us a fee to use our platform. Some of those, the minimum can be $25,000 or $35,000. I think the highest we've ever had is maybe $50,000.
Okay.
And we figured out that was too high.
Yeah.
So if you just watch our site, there's something for everybody in a range.
Perfect. Awesome. So go to the site and find out more at blissfulinvestor.com/farmland. And you can get all sorts of interesting information about Acre Trader and farmland. So thank you so much, Elise. That was amazing. Are you ready for our three rapid fire questions? I know I didn't warn you about this.
I'll do my best.
Okay, good. Elise, tell us a super tip on getting started investing in real estate.
I think the main thing is do your homework. Do your diligence. Don't just rely on something somebody told you. And don't be afraid to ask questions of anybody you can find.
Yeah. And that's such a key point, right? Of anybody you can find, like just ask lots of questions.
Yeah.
And then what would you say is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
I think just continuing to learn about that asset class that you're interested in, because you can make a more informed decision if you understand the nuances of how the market works with respect to that asset class, and it pays dividends. The time you spend becoming more educated, just keep learning, keep reading, keep asking questions.
Awesome. And then what would you say is one daily practice, Elise, that you use that contributes to your personal success?
I think just being mindful and intentional about taking the time, because we are all in the workforce are busy, is take that time and just allocate it and be true to it to do the learning. I know that sounds like a broken record, but it really does. It does matter.
Yeah, no, it does matter. You don't sound like a broken record.
Thank you.
It's been so fun to chat about this, Elise, on this portion of the show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it. I could talk about farmland all day.
I know. So, I love that. We're going to be talking more too.
I'm ready for part two. Bring it on.
Yay. So ladies who are subscribed to Extra, please stay tuned. We are going to be talking about more about farmland, and specifically what are different ways to invest in farmland, not just Acre Trader, but other different ways. So you've got some different resources. So stay tuned if you're subscribed. If you are not subscribed but would like to be, go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. You'll get this episode and many others. The first 7 days are free, so you can check it out. So go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. For those of you that are leaving us now, thank you so much for joining us. I think this was an interesting conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you soon. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.